Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Let's pray together. Lord, this morning we would ask that you would speak to us clearly about this whole issue of laying up treasure in heaven. Lord, show us how this is much more than advice. It's your command to us. Help us to understand how to do that practically. Lord, to that end we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The verses before us give us instruction concerning our relationship as Christians to material things, and they are, of course, very relevant to us who live in the affluent society that we live in. Materialism is alive and well among us today. Neither moth, and many, many people, if not the majority, are living for the obtaining of possessions. But Jesus said that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Because possessions, no matter how great they might be, are all temporal and can bring no lasting meaning or fulfillment to life. A 43-year-old man with a $300,000 annual income said that in the last 15 years he had owned more than a dozen Corvettes, boats, airplanes, and homes across the country. But unlike the smiling actors in the ads, he was not able to find joy. A 24-year-old woman with an annual salary of $80,000 said she had bought a new car, a new house, and thought all the joy her money could buy. But there was one thing she hadn't counted on, the regret and guilt of living a self-centered life. One man had to choke back tears while stating all his life he'd tried to make it to Easy Street. Every waking moment of his days was spent trying to achieve his dream. It's not that he didn't love his wife and children. On the contrary, he wanted to provide what was best for them. They could wait a while until he achieved all those wonderful things they deserved. He should have been happy. He was just one deal away from the big time, a breath away from a vice presidency, one client away from Easy Street. And he had just taken possession of his dream home. The only problem was that it was an empty house. His wife and children had left him. The price tag of his dream had cost him everything of value. He found himself spiritually alienated, relationally isolated, emotionally drained, and physically broken. All that was left was a pile of things that mocked him. These people, and many others like them, are learning the hard way what the Scriptures have told us all along. The Scripture says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Today we want to concentrate on verses 19 through 21 and see just exactly what Jesus means when he says not to lay up treasures on earth, but rather in heaven. And so as we move into a consideration of the subject, we first of all need clarification. The Word of God does not declare riches or possessions as evil in and of themselves. It's important that we understand that. The Bible does not simply condemn the wealthy. The Bible does not teach that it is a sin to have material possessions. Many people have misinterpreted the Scriptures. I have heard people say, oh, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. No, the Bible doesn't say that. We just read what the Bible said. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Because Jesus on occasion did call people to forsake their material belongings and follow Him, many have concluded that that is mandatory for everyone who would be a follower of Christ. But that isn't the teaching of Scripture. When Jesus called a person to forsake their material possessions, it was because those possessions had possessed them. The possessions had replaced Him, God, in their lives. There was a rich young man who came to the Lord. And he said, what can I do to obtain eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, I've done that. And the Lord said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and come follow me. Sell what you have and give your money to the poor. Jesus said that to this one individual, and some people have taken that to be the call that goes out to everyone. That's not the call that the Lord puts on everyone's life. There's another rich man in the New Testament that we read about, a man named Joseph of Arimathea. He was a follower of Christ. The Lord never required him to give up his wealth. There was a man named Zacchaeus who became a follower of Jesus. And he had gained his wealth by ripping people off. He was a tax collector. And he did commit himself to repaying people, but the Lord did not require that he give up all of his money. So the point is this, we need to understand the Word of God does not declare riches or possessions as evil in and of themselves. What the Scripture condemns is the love of riches and being possessed by possessions. Therefore, when Jesus said, do not lay up treasures on earth, He was not forbidding His people from owning anything, from having private property, or from having a bank account, a savings account, or from being provident, making reasonable and sensible provision for the future. The Lord allows us these things. These things are fine. They have their place. The danger and that which He was forbidding was that a man would become covetous. A man would become miserly and hoard his possessions or become a materialist, always longing for more, always desiring more, never being satisfied. So this is what Jesus is speaking against here. This is what He's talking about when He says, do not lay up treasures on earth. Do not hoard possessions. Do not covet more than what God has given you. Now, I think it's important to point out that this exhortation is put in the form of a command. In other words, this is not a suggestion by Jesus. He's not saying, now if you store up your treasures in heaven instead of on earth, it'll be advantageous to you. You can gain a lot of benefit from it, and you ought to consider doing that. That's not what He's saying. He's giving us a command. His command is, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't do it. And this, of course, is a command that He's giving to His people. And this is what He has to say to us. As Christian people, we are not to be laying up treasures on earth. We are to rather be laying up treasures in heaven. We're to lay up treasures in heaven. In other words, we're to be concentrating on the spiritual things. You see, because that which is seen or material is temporary, the Bible tells us. but that which is unseen or immaterial is eternal. See, the Lord wants us as His people to have an eternal perspective on life. He wants us to see things from the eternal, not from the temporal. He doesn't want us concentrating on the temporal because it's that. It's transitory. It's passing. It's here today, gone tomorrow. James tells us that life is but a vapor that appears for a moment and then vanishes away. And as we get older, we're finding how true that really is. The other day I met an older lady. And as I was talking to her, she told me that her husband had recently died. And that she had been married 82 years, or not 82 years, I'm sorry. Yeah, this was the oldest lady in the world, by the way. No. She'd been married 50 years, which is a long time too. And I said, oh, wow, 50 years, that's a long time. And she said, yep, I'm 82 years old. And I said, wow, that's incredible. And she said, how long have you been married? And I said, I've been married 16 years, about 16 years. And she said, well, you don't look a day over 25. And I said, well, actually, I'll be 40 next year. And when I said I'll be 40, my knees buckled. I was like, what did I just say? I'll be 40? How could I be 40? I was just 18 a few weeks ago, it seemed like, you know. I was coming back from surfing, so it was kind of just, you know. And you know, when I said that, 40, I was thinking, 40. Now, I know that's still fairly young, but yet I can't believe how quickly the time has gone. And you know, when you hit 40 and then you hit 50 and then you hit 60 and 70, boy, where did it go? Life is but a vapor. And all of those things, those material things that we long for and desire and work so hard to obtain, those things are all perishable. We'll get to that in a moment because Jesus gives us the reasons for why we are not to lay up treasures on earth. But He says we're to lay up treasures in heaven. Now, what are heavenly treasures and how do we lay them up? Well, number one, a heavenly treasure is the development of Christ-like character. You see, one of these days we're all going to die and we're going to go stand before the Lord and we're going to present something to Him. It's either going to be a life that was cultivated and brought to the full potential that He created it for, or it's going to be something less than that. If it's that life that He desired, that life that was cultivated and cared for, that is going to be a treasure for us in heaven. You see, what you do here on earth determines what you will do in heaven. That's what the Bible teaches us. Now, of course, the Bible teaches us that we can only be sure that we're going to get to heaven by doing a certain thing here on earth. That's receiving Christ. I determine whether or not I go to heaven by whether or not I receive Christ. What I do when I get to heaven is determined by what I do with what Christ gives me to do after I receive Him. See, heaven is an eternal life that we're going to live. It's a life of adventure. It's a life of excitement. It's a life of activity. And I determine what I'm going to be doing in heaven by what I do with what God gives me here on earth. So God has given me a life, and His desire for my life is that I become like Christ. So a treasure in heaven would be the cultivation or the development of Christ-like character in my life. You see, the Christian life is just that. It's a life to be lived. It's not a philosophy to be followed. It's not an ethic to be carried out. It's not a routine to be practiced. It's a life that we live. It's living a life. Some people want to add Jesus to their life like they might add, some other commodity. You know, they look at Jesus as, you know, He'll round my life out. Yeah, He'll make the whole thing complete. You know, I've got this and that and the other thing. And now, you know, if I get a little religion, it'll just bring a real balance to my life. Well, you can add some religion to your life if you want to, but you can't add Jesus because He won't come under those circumstances. The only circumstance under which Jesus will come into your life is if He becomes your life. See, that's what he wants. That's what he requires. He demands it. He demands that he become our life. And so this is what it's all about. Being a Christian is all about developing, cultivating this Christ-like character, or bringing our lives to the full potential that God created them for. How do I do that? Well, the Lord has left me some tools. He's left you some tools to accomplish this task. Number one, he's given us the Bible. He's given us his word. And his word is the agency through which he changes us. He conforms us. His word is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's through the word of God and our commitment to it, our meditating upon it, our following it, and so forth. It's through this that the Lord develops us into the people that he wants us to be. You see, I can't grow into the character of Christ apart from the Word of God. It's the Word of God that develops that character in me. So God has given me his Word, and he expects that I do something with it. I'm not to merely stick it on my shelf as just another one of those great books in my collection. But it's to be so much a part of me that I think it, that I speak it, that I live it, that I breathe it. The Word of God is to become a vital part of our very being. And in doing so, we are developing Christ-like character. He's given us his Word. He's given us prayer. And as we pray and as we develop a consistent communion with the Lord through prayer, again, we are growing in our Christ-like character. We're developing. We're becoming more like him through the Word of God, through prayer. He's also given us fellowship. He's given us each other. He's given us the body of Christ. He's placed us in the body in relation to other members of the body. And it's through our contact with them and functioning together that we grow and develop and become the people that he calls us to be. So laying up treasure in heaven is, number one, developing Christ-like character that we might present to him on that day. Secondly, laying up treasure in heaven is seeking through prayer and witness to lead others to Christ and to help our brothers and sisters in Christ down the road of Christian maturity. So, in other words, by investing in people's lives spiritually, primarily, but that, of course, overlaps into emotionally and even in some cases physically. But by investing in other people's lives, we're laying up treasure in heaven. You see, that's what the Lord's called us to do. He's called us to make an investment in the lives of other people. For those who don't know Christ, he wants us to invest time and energy through prayer and through seeking to share the love of Christ with them, that they might come to know the Lord. And for those who do know the Lord, he wants us to invest our time and our prayers and our efforts and our understanding in helping them become stronger, helping them grow into maturity in Christ so that they could in turn become disciples of others. That's what laying up treasure in heaven is all about, taking and investing in the lives of other people. But yet so many people are so busy investing in their own life. And we're living in a generation that's so self-centered, so me-centered. I don't have time for these other people because I have to do this, because I want to obtain that. But you see, as you're concentrating on those things, you're doing the very thing Jesus said not to do. You're laying up treasure on earth. He said, no, lay up treasure in heaven. Invest in the lives of others. Invest in your husband. Invest in your wife. Invest in your children. Invest in your neighbors. Invest in your friends. Pray for them. Share the love of Christ with them. Seek to help them come to a full understanding of who Jesus is and to really walk with him. That's the thing that God wants us to be taken up with. Again, this is a life to live. It's not a philosophy just to merely adhere to, or a ritual or a routine to practice occasionally. It's a life to be lived. For the Christian, everything is to revolve around Christ. My career revolves around Christ. My family revolves around Christ. My leisure revolves around Christ. He's at the center of all of these things. If I'm putting Christ at the center of everything, then I'm doing what Jesus said to do. I'm laying up treasure in heaven. Because everything I'm doing with the goal of pleasing Him, of blessing Him, of somehow furthering His will in this earth. And so we endeavor through prayer and witness to lead others to Christ and to help our brothers and sisters in Christ down the road of Christian maturity. The third thing that we can do in order to lay up treasure in heaven is to use our money for Christian causes. And let me remind you, Christian causes, or causes that are to promote the kingdom of God, are the only investments with eternal dividends. Now, be forewarned, there are certain causes that are going under the title of a Christian cause and aren't necessarily Christian causes. So we're not to be foolish with our resources and just give out to anybody who says they're serving Christ. Because some people say, you know, as you give, you're expanding the kingdom, when in actuality, all you're expanding is their luxurious lifestyle. And we have to be sensitive, we have to be discerning, and we don't want to be making a foolish investment. You know, for the life of me, I can't believe the things that people will invest in as Christians. I just don't understand it. Some of the obviously heretical and charlatan types of preachers on television, the thing that always fascinates me is the fact that they can remain on television. You know how they remain there? Because people support them. I'm always amazed to see that they're there. How do they remain supported? Isn't it obvious to everyone that these people are as phony as a $3 bill? I mean, you know, can't people see that? How is it that they keep contributing? Why don't they use discernment? Why don't they take that and invest it where God is really working? I don't understand that. That's a difficulty for me. It's a lack of discernment on the part of people. But we are to use discernment in our giving. And we're to make sure that we're giving to a cause that Christ is truly behind. Now we know the Lord is behind getting the gospel out. Missionary endeavor, church planting, those kinds of things. And so we want to use wisdom. But this is a way of literally, in the most, I think, tangible sense, of laying up treasure in heaven by taking our financial resources and giving them to the furtherance of the kingdom. Now you don't have to be rich to do that. There are people who are wealthy and they do that, and there are people who are poor that do that. You don't have to be rich to do it. There was a woman in the New Testament who gave two small coins, you know, really of, you know, very little monetary value. But Jesus said this woman gave more than these guys who are giving thousands of dollars, because she gave out of her necessity. And it was a sacrifice for her to give. As we give to the Lord, as we make those sacrifices, what we're doing is we're laying up treasure in heaven. And you know, one day when you get to heaven, there will be a scenario for many that will go like this. You'll arrive in heaven and you'll be greeted by maybe a line of people. And they'll be thanking you for your ministry and how it was through you that they came to know Christ. And you know, maybe they'll tell you, oh, well, you know, I lived in this country and I became a Christian, and I want to thank you for your involvement in that. And you might be saying, well, I never went there. What do you mean? I don't remember meeting you on earth. I don't remember ever talking to you about Jesus. No, you didn't personally, but you contributed and you supported that missionary who came to me and told me about the love of Christ. And then they might say, and look, as I came to know Christ, I in turn shared with these other people. And here's this long line of treasure, really, for you in heaven that you really didn't even realize was going to be there waiting for you because of your commitment to giving. So through using our money for Christian causes, we are laying up treasure in heaven. You want to invest wisely? This is where to invest. Give to the work of the Lord. Give to the furtherance of the kingdom, the gospel being spread. Now, why are we to lay up treasure in heaven? Jesus gave us three reasons. Number one, we're to lay up treasure in heaven because the world is passing away. And to lay up treasure on earth will only result in your treasure being lost finally. Jesus said treasure on earth can be rusted, moth-eaten, or stolen. And that's the case with every earthly treasure. Earthly treasures are perishing. They're vanishing, ultimately. So how foolish to invest in something that you know in advance is going to fail. Now, say you want to invest, you know, you're interested in the stock market, you go to a broker and you're getting advice from him, and, you know, and he says, okay, now, you know, here, this list, this is a good investment here, this is going to, you know, long term, it's going to work out for you, it's going to be great. I suggest this is where you put your money. Now, here's another possibility, but let me tell you, this stuff is all going to go under. And, if you invest here, I know it looks good right now. But you see, I know the market well enough to know that this is going to fall. Oh, well, no. I think I want to go with this, man. This looks really good. No, I'm telling you, in the long run, this is better. No, I'm going to go for this. Now, you'd be a fool to invest in that, knowing in advance that it's not going to do anything except cause you to lose what you invest. That's the way it is with earthly things, with material things, with possessions and those things. As you're investing your life in this is what you can know in advance. They're all going to perish. You'll probably perish before many of them do, but either way, you're separated from them forever. You know, it's amazing how quickly things can just vanish from us. Think of the people who were at one time the power brokers in the world. Who are they? Where are they? We don't even remember their names anymore. Think of the famous people who once, you know, had the limelight. They were the ones that everybody was, you know, going after, wanting to get the autograph from. And now that's all history. It's all over. It's all gone. Nobody even remembers them anymore. I heard the tragic story of Jerry Corey, who was the heavyweight contender back in the days when Muhammad Ali was in his prime. And Jerry Corey was the great white hope. He was going to come and, you know, he was going to be the man. And, you know, he was beaten, never did win a championship. But in the course of his fighting career, he won $2.5 million. Now, that's a lot of money, especially when you consider that he probably retired in the early 70s at the latest. $2.5 million. Today, he's penniless. He doesn't have a cent to his name. He's lost everything. And through being beaten to a pulp and through drugs and alcohol, he's lost his mind. And now he just roams the streets just asking people if they'd ever heard of Jerry Corey. And you know what? He can't find anyone that remembers him. And he's tormented by that. See, that's life, really, for all of us to some degree. Because it all just perishes so suddenly, so quickly. Listen to what the Bible says, 1 John 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Why are we to lay up treasure in heaven? Because the world is passing away. The world is passing away in the lust of it. And listen to the categories that the world is broken up into. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, passion. Our passions, our desires. Oh, how we live for those things. But the passions, the desires, they'll die with us. The lust of the eyes, oh, this is a description of the possessions. Oh, if I could just have that. Oh, look at that. Oh, if I could only get that. But all the possessions that you might attain will eventually flee from you. They'll be separated from you. Either they'll be taken away in this life, or when you die, you'll be separated from them. The passions, the possessions, and then the pride of life, the positions that we covet. Oh, if I was only in that person's position. Oh, if I could only be in charge here. Oh, I long to have that position. But you see, these are all different manifestations of the world, and the world is passing away. The world is passing away. Proverbs 23 verse 5 says, "Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." Man, you can be on the top of the hill one day and the bottom of the pit the next day. In 1923, there were, I think, 9 men who were the power brokers of their day. They were in charge of the largest companies at the time, and they were the, you know, they were the wealthiest people in the country and perhaps in the world in some cases. And I guarantee if I, you know, read that list of names to you, very few of you, if any, would even know who these people are. And these people who were once on the top, as you look at the brief biographical sketches given of them, many of them died without a penny. Many of them committed suicide because of their misery. You see, riches, they're not worth trusting in or living for because they make themselves wings. You can be rich today and you can lose it all tomorrow. I was talking to a guy this past week. In 4 days, he lost $2 million in the stock market. 4 days, $2 million. It's more money than all of us will see in our lives, probably. And he lost it in just 4 days. Well, quickly it comes and quickly it goes. Lay up treasure in heaven because your earthly treasure is vanishing. Secondly, lay up heavenly treasure because heavenly treasure is incorruptible. You see, it's only heavenly treasure that's going to last. It's only heavenly treasure that's truly secure. Heavenly treasure is the only wise investment in the fullest sense that you can make. You see, because this world is passing away, that world remains. What we store in that world then is what we'll have eternally. What we store in this world, it'll go when the world goes. So, heavenly treasure is incorruptible. Therefore, we are to lay up treasure in heaven. And thirdly, we're to lay up treasure in heaven because Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We're to lay up treasure in heaven because wherever your treasure is, that's ultimately where your heart is going to be. You see, if your treasure is on the earth, then your heart will be bound to the earth. And you'll be of no effect for the kingdom, and perhaps even unprepared for the arrival of the kingdom. You see, where your treasure is, there your heart is. So if your treasure is here on earth, your heart is set on that treasure, you're subject then to varying experiences based on the movement of the world. Now, your treasure is here on earth. If your treasure is not being rusted or moth-eaten or stolen, then everything's okay. But what happens when it begins to corrupt? Oh no, what am I going to do? There was a man who, not too many years ago, won the lottery. Won $3.6 million. Worked at a cafeteria all of his life. Just made enough money to get by. He won the lottery. And as a result of that, he became so stressed out that he died of a heart attack at the age of 37. And those who knew him were convinced that it was the obtaining of that great amount of money that actually killed him. Where prior to that, he was just an easygoing guy, at rest, no stress, nothing, no worries. He's got this load of money. Now he's got to worry about it. killed him. 37 years old, died of a heart attack. You see, if your treasure is on the earth, then your heart will vary in its security based on the movements of the world. If the economy is good, then hey, all right, everything's great. Oh, it took a dip here, and there you go. You know, get the bottle of Maalox out. Call the doctor for some Xanax. Oh, man, I'm in trouble. You know, see how, you know, your whole emotional life will then be contingent on the movements of the world, and the world is so uncertain. There's no certainty. There's no security. But when your treasure's in heaven, hey, heaven is permanent. It's eternal. Things aren't, you know, there's no fluctuation there. None of that is even an issue. It's all taken care of. So when things here don't go well, if my treasure is in heaven, then I'm not worried about it. I'm not bothered by it. I'm not losing sleep over it. I'm just able to say, hey, the Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, it would be wise for all of us, before we purchase things, to think through and maybe even to do a little visiting of certain places to get a good perspective. Before you buy a new car, I encourage you to visit the junkyard and to see where your car is going to end up, and then evaluate from there how much money you want to spend to increase the junk pile. Okay, because that's where it's going to go. You know, realistically, eventually that's where it's going to go. You know, there are cars that, boy, in their day, I mean, people were just, you know, people coveted. They just killing to get this thing. And now you couldn't give a car like this away. Nobody wants it. You see, the things that we get so excited about, and oh, if I just had this, think about the future of this thing. Think about the destiny of this thing. You know, the Mercedes is a real stylish car, and people are, wow, you know, if I could have a Mercedes. But you know, you see some of these old Mercedes driving around, you can pick them up for $300, man. You know, they shouldn't pay that originally for it, but who cares now? Who wants a thing now? And that's the way it is with everything. It's all just, you know, one of these days going to lose its value. You say, oh, wait a minute. You know, some things, the older they get, the more value they, you know, they gain. Well, there are a few things. But even then, one day they're going to be worthless themselves. So we need to keep this perspective, because so many things can grab a hold of our heart. Oh man, if I could just get this. And then we strive and we struggle and we go out and we obtain it. Ever notice how it never really satisfies us like we thought it was going to? You get that new car. This is the one you wanted. This is great. And 2 weeks later you're going, you know, I should have got the other color. I knew it. Maybe I can trade it in. And then you call them back and say, I'd like to trade my car. And you find out it's depreciated. It's about half the value that it was before you drove it off the lot. And you still haven't paid for it. And you're paying three times what it's worth. Oh, man. That's really great, isn't it? Buyer's remorse sets in. You're having a nervous breakdown. You know, those are things we do. Well, if I could just get this thing. If I just had, oh man, if I had that, that'd be great. I'd be so happy. I'd be so fulfilled. And then you get it. And you find that, you know, no, you know, there's something the matter with it. You know, if I could just get that giant screen TV, and you get it, and then you're like, you know, I knew I should have got the one that was 2 inches bigger. You know, all these things that we do. This is humanity. This is life in the world. This is what God tells us about. This is why He says these things are foolish to put your trust in. These things are foolish to invest your lives in, because they can never bring you what you need. You need peace and joy and love. You need deep down satisfaction, and you can only get that from me. And when you've got that, then those other things become incidental. Hey, it's fine to have possessions, as long as they don't possess you. It's okay to be wealthy, but you know, the person who is centered in Christ and is wealthy, their wealth is incidental to them. They just see it as a means to help get the kingdom of God expanded. The person who has Christ at the center of their life, their job, yeah, their job's fine and it's important, but they look at it as a means to get the kingdom of God expanded. Or their home, or their property, their material things, whatever. They look at all these things, they say, this is great. Thank you, Lord, for this. But you know, if they had to give it up, they could. They could give it up in a moment. Because their heart isn't in it. They're not bound to it. And that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be there. He wants us to be freed from these things. Jesus said this, Luke 21:34-36. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. You see what Jesus said? He said, take heed lest your hearts be weighed down. That's what happens. When your treasure is on earth, your heart is weighed down. Your heart's weighed down. It's heavy. Stress. Oh, heart disease. Heart attack. Killing people. Actually, 2 days ago, heard about a friend, not a close friend, but an acquaintance, died Thanksgiving morning. He was younger than I was. Heart attack. The stress of life. Got to get ahead. Got to push this business further. You know, all of those things that we do. I heard the story of a guy who was lying on a dock doing a little fishing. Had his boat there and just kind of kicking back. This man comes up. He says, what are you doing here? He says, well, I'm fishing. He said, well, you caught anything? He said, yeah, I caught a few for myself, my family. He says, well, you know, if you caught a few more, you could sell them. I said, oh. Then what would I do? He said, well, if you sold them, you could make a little money. Oh, well, then what would I do? Well, then you could buy another boat. What would I do with another boat? Well, you could hire somebody else to work for you. Well, why would I want to do that? Well, because you could become a businessman. You could make a lot of money and you could, you could actually have people working for you. Well, okay. And then what would I do? Well, then, you know, you could get everything taken care of so much that you could eventually just relax. The guy said, well, what do you think I'm doing right now? Why do I have to go through all that to get here when I'm already here? If your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be in heaven. If your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be in heaven. Heavenly-minded people get the most done for God here on earth. See, it's the heavenly-minded people that are the most earthly good. You've probably heard the little cliche, heavenly-minded people are of no earthly good. No, that's ditzy people are of no earthly good. But heavenly-minded people, truly heavenly-minded people, people who have their mind on Christ, not their head in the clouds, just trying to deny reality. But no, people who have their mind, their heart set on Christ. They're the people that are the most earthly good because they're not distracted with the world. They're living above it. They're living for the Lord. And everything else is just, you know, it's there, it's fine, take it or leave it. But my treasure is in heaven. And so I accomplish things for God that the other man won't. And in the process, I have a tremendous peace that those whose hearts are weighed down with the cares of this life do not have. Because my treasure isn't on earth. So if I lose my house in an earthquake or a fire or a flood, the insurance company says, sorry, that's an act of God. We can't do anything about that. I'm able to just say, well, you know, Lord, I'm still yours. You promised to take care of me. And in the context of what we're studying here, that's what Jesus will ultimately get to. We have a Father in heaven who takes care of all these things. That's why we're not to be concerned about it. We're to be concerned with the work of the kingdom, with the life of Christ. That's to be the priority. Doesn't mean we don't work. It doesn't mean we don't have homes. It doesn't mean we can't have a bank account. It just means that those things are incidental. Those things are not the important things in our life. They're there, but God is the issue. He's in charge. He's the one we're living for. He's the one we're serving. Where are you laying up your treasure? heaven or earth, where are you laying up your treasure? If you're laying it up on earth, you're wasting a lot of precious time and a lot of energy, because one day, either it'll leave you or you'll leave it. You'll be separated from it eventually to never regain it again. But if you're laying up treasure in heaven, when you arrive there, that treasure will be there waiting for you, and it'll be yours to enjoy for all eternity. That's a wise investment. God, help us to make wise decisions. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray now that you would speak to our hearts and show us, Lord, where we're at in relation to this command. And Lord, if we are those who are laying up treasure on earth, Lord, may you just deal with us and may you show us clearly. And then, Lord, help us to, Lord, help us to lay up treasure in heaven. Help us to understand what that is and how it's done and to do it, Lord. Lord, help us to realize that you are to be our all in all. Help us to dedicate ourselves to you to that extent. In Jesus' name, amen.